Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, what a beautiful day. It stopped raining.
Yeah. And had a little bit at 6. I took 16 mils out last night, Rick, at home. But had a little bit today, a couple big showers. But
I guess we really shouldn't sound too happy because it's sad days.
Why?
Cricket Australia is in more trouble than the early settlers.
They've got plenty of money. I read in the read it up that they got plenty of money, millions.
Well,
just throw me those figures.
Well, there's something of a controversy here, Phil, because you know, back in 2019, and may I remind you that that's only a little while ago.
It's not far away.
It's only just gone. Now, would you believe Cricket Australia's 2019 annual report states that it's got the odd 90.2 million, not 90,000, 90.2 mil in local and overseas shares and 26.6 mil in cash reserves.
Oh, they're laughing. Hey? They got plenty.
You wouldn't know what to do, would you?
No, they got plenty.
However.
What?
However, Kevin Roberts, CEO, has just come out.
Yep.
Confessed that, quote, without dramatic action, the cash will run out by the end of August.
A couple of big fat lunches in there somewhere,
well,
is there, or what?
I tell you what, hey? I reckon the price of those lunches at Adelaide Oval must have gone up.
I tell you, his wages have probably gone up too. What? Where does that go?
Well, I mean, that's mind-blowing. I mean, the other thing that's pretty...
August, that's not far away.
Well, they're gone. He's saying that, you know, he's saying that they're in such strife that he wanted it to be 50%, and I think he's backed down a bit, but he reckons that 25%, normally they hand out of their revenue, they hand out money to each of the states, right? SACA, New South Wales, Victoria, etc. And he reckons that they're going to be 25% down on that. The handout, and after all the toing and froing between the players and the ACA and Cricket Australia about salaries and how it was going to be arranged, it might be that the players might regret the deal that they struck because their salaries actually are tied to the income that Cricket Australia generates. Now, without test series, et cetera, et cetera.
Well,
I mean,
right.
It is fair to say on Cricket Australia's side that obviously their revenue is going to be less than it would be anticipated.
Yep.
But it's interesting also that the contracts are about to be negotiated, or meaning the players, I think it might even be today or in this week sometime, they're going to announce the players who are going to be offered a contract.
But and they're cutting them or something, aren't
well,
they?
Well, they have to because it's tied into the income.
Yep.
The income's going to be down.
But they're grossly overpaid, aren't they?
Well,
let's face it. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, you've hit the nail on the head. And he's anticipating, and I think the players are going to have to, that their salaries are going to be cut at least by 25%.
What about how many, you might know this, I'll throw it at you, but the executives, like this peanut over there, how many of those have we got?
Well, more than you can. I mean, the joke of it all is that you've got, I think it's 17 players who are going to be offered contracts.
Yep.
Then you've got...
What was it?
It's always been around that mark.
Okay.
Right? And then you've got contracts to be given to state players, right? So you've got your internationals, then you've got your state players, and there's about 14 or 15 women internationals who get offered contracts as well. But even if you add those together, you know, you add all these executives, sub-executives, etc., I would almost suggest that there's as many of them, if not more, than there are players. But anyway, I still find it really hard to believe that... I mean, only a few weeks ago, Roberts was actually telling the staff at Cricket Australia that everything was tickety-boo.
Mm.
Now,
all
you know,
of a sudden,
wave
a couple of big fat lunches and
wave the magic wand. Oh. And, I mean, I love these sorts of stories. You really would want to be an executive, wouldn't you? Because all of a sudden, They've put 80%, 80% of the Cricket Australia staff down to 20% salaries, but they have not given the flick to any on the executive or sub-executive, and instead of them also being on 20%, they're on 80%. They just got the 2-0 in the different position.
They just mixed that up a bit, that's all.
I just find it incredible that...
And now Langer, he's gone down to a couple of days a week. Do we need him at all, Rick? This is what we've got to ask that question.
Well, isn't that amazing?
Do we need him?
Here is the bloke who has... You know, they haven't stopped waving flags for Justin bringing the Australian cricket
team together
after Sandgate, disunity, Smithy and Warner and everyone back.
You know, respect to other teams and whatever it
and
was.
Yeah. Langer was the key. But obviously, it's only
not worth that much
because he's
2 days a week.
He's on 2 days a week.
Oh.
And I love this. I reckon this is the best quote of all that Mr. Roberts. There is a rumor around that there is a bit of falling out between Roberts and Justin Langer, but it's quite interesting that Roberts has stated, quote, Justin isn't busy at this time of the year. Even with Justin's part-time level, i.e. 2 days a week, it's fair to say the activities of the men's national team at this point in time don't fill all his time. Now,
what would he be doing, Rick?
Well,
what would he be doing?
The truth is, they're
isolation, so he's got no one to coach.
The truth is that whether they are in isolation or not, if they're not playing... and it's downtime. I mean, you can claim, well, he's on holidays. Well, I reckon sitting in the grandstand watching the test team play.
Grab us another pasty and
But it's almost an admission that the coach is
doing nothing.
Well, supernumerary to the performance of the team. Now, just for interest of our listeners and maybe yourself, it's interesting because I thought I'd do a bit of homework. I've never tired of at least listening to it. Whether they were slightly overrated or not is a debate for another time. But I looked at the 1948 Invincibles, the only Australian international cricket team ever to tour England and go undefeated. And
all their sides, all their county sides, beat everyone.
Yep. Five test matches, they won the series 4-0.
Yep.
Under the guidance of the great Sir Donald Bradman. Now,
and the coach?
What, you've spoiled the whole thing.
I know,
They didn't have a coach.
Oh, they must have.
No, did not have a coach. Now, how about this for a statistic?
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine how tired our boys today would be under this regime. In that 1948 tour, they played 112 days of scheduled cricket in a 144-day tour. 112 and 144 days, including five tests and 31 first-class games. And wait for it. You can imagine just the swathe of hangers-oners. They had one manager and a scorer. That was it.
No coach. They didn't have a coach.
No coach. Now, the interesting thing is, of course, that I then thought, well, when did they actually start having a coach? And the reality is that the Australian national cricket team had never had a coach until 1986. And the legendary Bob Simpson was given a Guernsey.
It was a bit later than that.
It's in the 70s. He came back.
Yep.
But what inspired that? I haven't done the history on that. But how interesting that it's only since, and in relation to the history of Test cricket, it's like, you know, yesterday. It's only since 1986 there's been a coach.
Mm.
And you must wonder what role the coach really has and plays. Now, it's lovely to think that he brings the team together and all that, but you know, and it's interesting to look at the names of the coaches, and I'm not sure there's any common denominator or theme. Now, that's fair enough. You don't necessarily have to have everyone moulded the same way. But the coaches, and there's only been seven of them.
Okay.
Bobby Simpson was first. Jeff Marsh was second. John Buckingham was third. Timmy Nielsen, high performance manager at Sacker.
Wow, no wonder he got that job.
Mickey Arthur.
Yeah.
South African, I think.
Oh, South African.
Darren Lehman and now Justin Langer. But, I mean, Justin's a poor fella. He's only worth 2 days a week.
2 days a week.
Huh?
What? You might know, but I'll throw me a figure. What would he be on, roughly?
Oh, he'd be on at least...
Mill?
I don't know. My guess would be at least probably three quarters.
Yeah. Unreal.
Who knows? But anyway...
Could have a bit of a saving there, couldn't they?
Well, it is. They could do a
sack. Now, Rick, I'll quickly ask you. When you won your Sheffield Shield way back in 75, 76...
Yes.
Who was your coach then? Who coached you?
We didn't have one, Phil.
No coach. Answers a few questions, doesn't it? We don't really need a coach,
well,
do we?
Well, the next thing would be, and I mean, it's hard to evaluate what I'm about to say, but is there any concrete evidence that a coach improves the performance of a first-class cricket team? And my guess is that it'd be hard to find any evidence that it really does. Now, I can understand, you know, the younger you go, and probably the less quality the player. Yeah, you know, of course the under sevens need a coach, under nines and the kids. Yeah. But I mean, if you're talking about first class cricketers who, at least in theory, now go on, I'll say it, bar me, because you were gonna say it about it, but at least in theory that they can play the game. Mm. They don't need a bloke standing at the end of the nets with his arms crossed across his shoulders.
Just keep your elbow up. Keep your elbow, you know. I mean, you know what you've done wrong and you're out there working on, aren't you?
There's a great story from 1948 that Neil Harvey was really struggling to make a run. And Bradman was virtually inapproachable from what I understand.
Okay.
But... he asked one of his mates to ask Bradman, you know, if there's anything he'd do. And Bradman evidently, via his mate, sent the message back, hit the ball along the ground.
Probably a good tip.
Well, it's not a bad tip, eh? Anyway, you know, the question is, will we need some of these people?
And, you know, once the virus is over, they're going to have to save some money here somewhere.
Well, look, we could jump and parallel this to the footy, which seems a bit interesting, isn't it?
It is.
What about the removal of coaches at the mighty South Australian clubs, Phil?
Well, the Crows released one of theirs, and yet Port dumped theirs.
Isn't that a wonderful piece of
journalistic? Great. How can one be dumped and the other one's been released?
Well, I think...
Different club, I suppose.
Well, it is. Different culture.
Port are closer to the Wingfield dump than the Crows are.
I think that is really quite incredible.
Yeah, I mean, one's dumped and one's released.
You know, our wonderful...
I think they're both sacked, I think. I think that's what it means,
well,
Rick.
Well, I think it does. But isn't it interesting how the local newspaper, I was going to call it a rag, but perhaps I shouldn't, it's slightly unfair, or no mob, probably not, that, you know, when it comes to Adelaide, Marty Matner... Loyal servant of the club, loyal SANFL. That's right. He has been released.
Released.
It's a bit like
how did Scott Thompson go?
He got dumped.
I mean, that is unreal.
I thought the end result was the same for the
team. Yeah, it is. It starts with an S. It's sacked.
Isn't that? That's fantastic journalism. It
is.
Isn't it?
That's cutting.
Yeah, and while we're briefly on that, we've jumped to it. Is that I've got some serious doubts about this AFL hub and everything. There's a number of names beginning to jump off the bandwagon.
I don't reckon it's not going to work because some of the big name players have said straight out, We're not going there for 20 weeks that's or right. whatever it might be.
That's right.
They might cut it back a bit to try and get their family back to them. Yeah. But I don't think it's going to go.
Well, I think there's a mounting pressure. It's, you know, like even locally, Rory Sloane, you know, has come out and said that let's slow down.
Yep.
You know, I mean, there's some who are saying, oh, let's go for it. But they're the ones who haven't got families and young kids. Right.
Phil Davis said, oh, he'd be in it. He said, I have got a young family. I think he must have a child, one or two, I'm not too sure. He said, I would be in it. But, you know, obviously it's sacrifices I have to make.
Well,
but
I think it's interesting. It always seems to me that that Jeff Kennett.
Oh, Jeff a great
come,
man.
Well, he seems to come out at sort of either appropriate or inappropriate times to make amazing claims, and he claims that all the AFL stars are behind it. Well, I could name heaps that aren't, but I think where the crunch really comes is that the power brokers, namely the Collingwood Football Club, second the Collingwood Football Club, and the third the Collingwood Football Club. I think we can
How's
say
Buckley.
Well, you see, this is it. Now I don't know whether he ran this past Eddie Everywhere, but Nathan is quoted as saying that he casts doubts on whether the league should proceed with the dramatic hub plan due to the huge toll it will take on families and mental health.
Yeah.
There's your two words, mental health.
Yep.
So,
and I mean, you're living in there in each other's shoeboxes for 20 weeks.
If they're doing
weeks.
It for 20 weeks, it's not as though you're going on a 20-week holiday.
No. And what sort of frame of mind? You're going to get up in the morning, oh, we're going to play another game of footy today.
Not family visiting, coming in and out.
Oh, I'm going home to get my pulse washed by my wife or whatever, you know. And,
serious
you know,
doubts.
But, yeah, I'm not too sure. I can't see it working, but all time will tell, won't
it? Time will tell. It will. I can't see when you start throwing around these mental health issues, et cetera, family relationships, then they're walking on eggshells, really, aren't they?
And absolutely.
That could be very, very serious.
We
indeed.
Are running out of time fast.
Yes.
So we need a joke. Rick?
Now, listen. He was only 5 foot nothing in height, and he only weighed about 60 kgs wringing wet. But nevertheless, he was a clever coach. In his first meeting with the players, he said, now listen, I've got a question. Is there anyone here who thinks he can take me? Silence prevailed in the dressing room. Eventually, one of the guys stands up at the back of the room. He's 6'6". He's about 19 stone. And he said, I think I can whip you. Right, immediately the coach said, turning to the players, may I introduce to you your new captain?
It's one way of picking the captain, I suppose.
Well,
so.
It is a way.
Well, I think we're over time.
I think we are. So until next week, this is Rick.
And this is Phil.